Okay, so let's start Parshas Vayelech on 1094. Vayelech Meisha, okay, Meisha left. Where did he go?
Crazy.
That's where you go. Vayedaber es advarim o'ele al kol Yisrael. Meisha Rabbeinu spoke the following words to all of Yidden. Now, the Medrash says like this. Meisha Rabbeinu gathered all the Jews together. He gave them this pep talk. All the things about the curses and the blessings and to love Hashem and to do all that. Then it says, everybody went home. Everybody went back to their tents. Moshe Rabbeinu's speech was over. They went back to the tent. Then Moshe Rabbeinu also went home. But now it says like this. Vayelech Moshe, the Mefarshim explain, Moshe Rabbeinu went actually to every single tribe. Moshe Rabbeinu that day went to all the tribes to get say farewell. That's what the Ramban learns. The Moshe Rabbeinu went Pasha to say goodbye to all the Jews. He's passing away. Is he going to say, it's 120 years old today. Moshe Rabbeinu had a very busy last day of his life. He wrote 13 Sefer Torahs. He went around to all the Jews to say goodbye. He did a lot of things. He taught him Pasha Sa'azinu. The Medrash enumerates a whole bunch of things that Moshe Rabbeinu did on the day he died. Or the day before he died.
Were the days much longer back then?
Or no. No.
Like 13 separate Torahs?
No. So we'll see how he did that. Because there's a bigger problem over here. You'll see later, not yet, but later on in the Pasha, it says Moshe Rabbeinu gave a Sefer Torah to each tribe. And then he gave a 13th Sefer Torah for Shevet Levi, which was kept inside, well, it's argument between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir and the Gemara, was either inside the Aron in the Holy of Holies or on a board next to the Aron. But the 13th Sefer Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote for Shevet Levi, he put into the Holy of Holies. Why did he do that? In case later on in generations, people are going to forge Torah. You know, what's the original, authentic Torah that you can compare all the other Torahs to? Was the Sefer Torah. That was not, like this, all the tribes could have forged the Sefer Torah. They could have erased something and written something else. This Sefer Torah was inside the Holy of Holies. Nobody ever touched it. In case there was ever a debate what a Sefer Torah had, that was the authentic Sefer Torah that everybody followed.
We don't have the Sefer Torah
now either. But I'm saying for the duration of the Beis Hamikdash, they had that Sefer Torah. Now Moshe Rabbeinu, which another, there's a bigger problem here. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote, simply the Pasuk says he wrote the Sefer Torah the day he died. The problem is Moshe Rabbeinu died on Shabbos.
The 7th of Adar.
That year was Shabbos. In fact, you know, Shabbos afternoon we say Tzidkoscha. If there's a day of normally would be Tachnun. We say the three Psukim Tzidkoscha. That's because three great Tzaddikim passed away Shabbos afternoon. Yosef, Moshe, and David. So we say the three Psukim Tzidkoscha for the three great Tzaddikim that passed away on Shabbos. So the question is, if Moshe Rabbeinu died on Shabbos, how could he write 13 Sefer Torahs the day he died? He can't write on Shabbos. How could he write on Shabbos if he can't write 13 Sefer Torahs the day he died if he can't write on Shabbos? So there are opinions, by the way, in commentaries that say that he wrote it by Hashpasas HaKulmis. Hashpasas HaKulmis actually means, Kulmis is the pen. Hashpasas HaKulmis means that it was written by itself. The 13th Sefer Torahs were written by itself. So the commentaries ask on that, a miraculous Sefer Torah is not kosher. The mitzvahs have to be done in a natural way. Remember we discussed, there was a story with Alter Rebbe when he was taken to prison, and then the prison was on an island that they shouldn't be able to escape. But the interrogation rooms were on the land. So they used to ferry the prisoners back and forth by boat. One time when Alter Rebbe was in prison, in the month of Kislev, obviously, or Cheshvan maybe, they're ferrying him across the boat, and Alter Rebbe saw a moon. And he asked the captain of the boat to stop because he wanted to do Kiddush Levana. Wanted to make the bracha on the moon. So the guy said to him, you know, sir, you're a prisoner. We're not going to do anything you want. We're not stopping for you. So a minute later, the boat stopped on its own. The boat just didn't go anymore. So the Alter Rebbe said to him, you see that I could stop the boat? So I'm asking you, I'm going to start the boat again. I'm asking you to stop the boat. So he had no choice. He gave in. And the Alter Rebbe started the boat again, and the captain stopped the boat. So the question is obvious that the says in the Sichas. So the question is, if the boat already stopped, then he could have done Kiddush Levana then. You know, that wasn't a cruise liner that you can stand. So the answer is, if the boat stopped miraculously, if the boat stops miraculously, then the mitzvah is being done through miracles. Hashem doesn't want a mitzvah through a miracle. Hashem wants mitzvah b'derech hateva, in nature. And the halacha is, by the way, a miraculous miracle is not a mitzvah. So they ask, how can you say that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote 13 Sefer Torahs on Shabbos the day he died? Because he didn't write it. And the pen wrote it by itself and it was a miracle, then it's not a Sefer Torah. It can be a Sefer Torah because it's a miraculous Sefer Torah. So the real explanation is, how did Moshe Rabbeinu write 13 Sefer Torahs that day? It doesn't mean that he physically wrote it. He had people writing 13 Sefer Torahs on that day. You can have 100 people writing a Sefer Torah, and it was done. 13 Sefer Torahs in one day. You can have 1,000 people writing a Sefer Torah. And he didn't do it, obviously, the day he died, because that's Shabbos. Shabbos, you're not allowed to write. So he did it Friday before he died. He wrote 13 Sefer Torahs.
But I thought the Torah was translated into 70 different languages.
That was...
So 70 times 12...
No, it wasn't 70. It was one translation, and that wasn't necessarily written. That was written later on.
What?
It was written later on, the translations. But on this day, he wrote the actual Torah in Hebrew.
When was it translated?
Some say in the days of Yeshua, they wrote it on this, in the Yardin. Okay. Now, the Rechaim HaKadosh explains, how did Moshe Rabbeinu know that he's dying? The next pasuk says that's it, I'm done. So it says an interesting thing. Tzadikim, the Zohar says, the Rechaim HaKadosh says this. The Zohar says that tzadikim know a few days before they die, they know they're going. They see the world differently. Don't ask me how. It ain't happening to me. They see the world differently. Here's a chumash. They see the world differently and they know they're dying. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu say? So he went to all the Jews. It's very interesting. Moshe Rabbeinu was so humble that if you think about it, everybody should have come to him to say goodbye. Okay, so one thing you say, they didn't know. But even after they know, Moshe Rabbeinu went to all the Jews, all the tribes, to say goodbye to them and give them the transformation, the transferring of leadership, as we'll soon see, from Moshe to Yeshua. It says like this: "V'yerim aleihem." Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, "B'meir ve'esrim shana neichi ayin. I am 120 years old today, meaning today's my birthday. 1094." Moshe Rabbeinu was born Zayin Adar. He passed away Zayin Adar. In fact, the Gemara says in Saita that the Gemara discusses when Moshe Rabbeinu's mother put him into the, you know, basket when he was a little boy, huh? When Paro made the decree you have to throw the kids into the Nile. So Yocheved put Moshe Rabbeinu in the basket and Paro's daughter found him, that whole story. So the Gemara says, two opinions. When was Moshe Rabbeinu put into the basket? So one opinion says it was the day of Matan Torah. Another opinion says it was Shvi Shel Pesach. That's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara says, according to the opinion that was Shvi Shel Pesach, so when Yocheved had to put him into the Nile, which was dangerous, a little kid in the river, you know, in a basket. So the Malachim came to God and said, this day that you're going to split the sea for the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu was put into the Nile. And the other opinion says, no, it was the sixth day of Sivan, the day of Matan Torah. And according to that opinion, the Malachim said the same thing. On the day that you're going to give the Jewish people the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu was put into the Nile. You know, how could that be? So the Gemara asks, 1 minute, there's a problem over here. We know Moshe Rabbeinu was born the 7th of Adar. 7th of Adar. Shvi Shel Pesach is the 21st of Nisan. Now, from the 7th Adar to the 7th of Nisan is 30 days, right? And then from the 7th to the 21st is 2 weeks, 14 days. So the Gemara says, it says in the Pasuk that she hid him for 3 months. And after 3 months, she put him into the Nile. But according to this, it's only 6 weeks. What do you get 3 months? Right? So the Gemara answers a very interesting answer. The Moshe Rabbeinu was born in a leap year. And Moshe Rabbeinu was born in the first Adar. So because he was born the 7th of Adar, it was the majority of the first month, the whole second Adar, and the majority of Nisan, because it was 21st of Nisan. So when she says in the Chumash, this is what the Gemara says in Saita, the 3 months, the Gemara says, wasn't exactly 3 full months. It was 1 3-quarter month, 1 whole month, and the third 3-quarter month. But according to that opinion, Moshe Rabbeinu was born in Adar Rishon. The second opinion says it was 6th of Sivan. That makes a lot of sense. Because he was born Zayin Adar. Zayin Adar to Zayin Nisan, to Zayin Iyar, to Vav Sivan. So it's exactly 3 months. Okay? But Moshe Rabbeinu says, today is my birthday, I'm 120 years old today. And the Gemara says, Tzadikim, the day they're born is the day they die. I mean, not the same year. Tzadikim, the day they're born, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mamali Shnei Sivashi says, I think. Yeah. Huh? They're born, they die on the same day that they were born. Or some people say the day they were buried, if I mind many tzadikim.
So year to year you go, is this going to be my year that I'm going to die? Because you know when.
If you're a tzadik.
If you're a tzadik. Right.
No, I wouldn't worry about it if I were you. Not everybody else either. Okay. So he says like this. Okay, let's see the part. Stop. I cannot go longer, go in and out. Okay. Hashem Amar Elayin, God said to me, you're not going to go over through the Nile River. You're not going to cross the Jordan, I mean. You're not leading the Jews into Eretz Yisrael. And Hashem wanted Yeshua, as we'll soon see, we'll discuss this now at greater length, Hashem wanted Yeshua to lead the Jewish people into Eretz Yisrael, not Moshe Rabbeinu. Somebody might think that's negative, because Moshe Rabbeinu is greater. The Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu is like the face of the sun, and Yeshua is like the face of the moon. And obviously the sun is the big luminary versus the moon, which is the little luminary. Nevertheless, it's explained that there's still an advantage of Yeshua taking the Jews in versus Moshe Rabbeinu taking the Jews in. Because Yeshua was lower level than Moshe Rabbeinu, it brought the natural conquering of Eretz Yisrael more natural than if Moshe Rabbeinu did it. And Hashem wanted that it should go through more nature than the great level of miraculous Moshe Rabbeinu, did all those miracles. Okay, but it says like this. Rashi says, this is from the Medrash, what does it mean, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm not able to go in and out anymore. So simply, you know, without anybody else, you would say, well, he's 120 years old, man, it's an old man. You know, he can't go, he's not going in and out anymore. But Rashi says that can't be, because soon the Pasuk will say, when Moshe Rabbeinu died, he had vitality, he didn't dry up, wasn't weak. Moshe Rabbeinu jumped to Har Nevi, which was 12 levels. He jumped one jump. to get to the top. Okay, so Moshe Rabbeinu was still very powerful. So if Moshe Rabbeinu physically was very powerful, what does it mean? Le'ochol eid la'seis v'lavei. I'm not able to come and go anymore.
Because Hashem told him, he asked Hashem 503 times whether he could go.
515.
515 times, he said no.
No, but that's the point is like this. God, why can't I go in and out anymore? Because God said, I cannot, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hashem is not allowing me to lead the Jewish people anymore. Not because he's physically weak. Ibn Ezra says, like he brings out at the bottom over here, Moshe Rabbeinu says he couldn't lead him in war, but it doesn't matter who's leading you in war because God anyway is fighting for you. So what's the difference if Yeshua goes, Moshe Rabbeinu goes? But the bottom line is, Moshe Rabbeinu said another interesting thing according to some commentaries. Moshe Rabbeinu said, the power of leadership was given over to Yeshua. So therefore, I don't have the ability to go and come anymore, meaning my leadership ability stopped to exist. It's just not happening anymore. And we'll see as we go along. Hashem Elokecha, God, your God, whoever lefanach, he's going to go before you. So don't worry about it. It doesn't matter if I'm going or not, because it's not me. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hashem is going to lead you. Who yashmid es ha-goyim el-eilim el-fanecha. He will destroy, okay, all the nations before you. Yeshua hu oivel lefanecha. Yeshua is going to be the one leading you. Kasher diber Hashem le-gatzvok. So Moshe Rabbeinu, by the way, is saying one more point also. I can't go to battle anymore. Hashem does not allow me to take the Jews into Egypt. The wellsprings of Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu stopped. And the Mefarshim explained, what is that? That's a medrash. What does it mean? So the commentaries explain, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't forget his learning. But the wellsprings, like it's Rashi uses the expression, Nist mumenu mayonis hachochma. Mayin is an ever-flowing wellspring. Until now, when Moshe Rabbeinu taught Torah to the Jewish people, it was like a continuous flowing wellspring. Mayin amiz gaber. It just kept going and going and going. That level, Hashem took away from him on this day. Like Shlomo HaMelech says, Ein shulton nibiyem ames, misa. There's no, people don't have control on the day they die anymore. It was a time of transformation of leadership to Yehoshua.
Was the Shekhinah taken away from him?
No. No, it says clearly that the Shekhinah wasn't taken away. It's just that this ability to learn Torah as a wellspring, you know, to take one thing into the next, into the next, into the next, that was taken away from him.
Do you think that Moshiach will be the reincarnation of Moses?
Who?
The Moshiach will be the reincarnation of Moses?
The Medrash says that Moshe hu goyel rishon, hu goyel acharon. Moshe Rabbeinu was the first redeemer, he'll be the last redeemer. Which is a big problem.
Why?
Because Moshe Rabbeinu came from the tribe of Levi.
Right.
And Mashiach comes to the tribe of Yehuda. So how can Moshe Rabbeinu be goyel rishon and goyel acharon if Mashiach is from Yehuda and Moshe Rabbeinu is from Levi? So there's a few answers to the question that the commentaries explain. One answer is, it means the neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu will come into the neshama of Mashiach. That's one interpretation. By the way, it's interesting, Moshe equals 345, Mashiach equals 358. Mashiach equals 358. Mem Shin Yud Ches. 40, 300 Yud Ches is 18. Moshe equals 345. Mashiach equals 358. What's the difference between Moshe and Mashiach? 13. Which is the numerical value of Echad. When you have Moshe with Echad, then you get to the level of Mashiach. Huh? In other words, when there's the unity and the oneness of Moshe, then you reach the level of Mashiach. But it also means like this. And this is one of the answers the Rebbe gives about the contradiction about Moshe Rabbeinu Goel Rishon Goel Achron. And another simple answer, we learned this a long time ago. It says when Mashiach comes, the resurrection, Tchis HaMesim, is going to take 40 years. That doesn't mean people are going to get up after 40 years. It says, by the end of the 40 years, everybody will be up. Whoever's getting up is going to get up within 40 years after Mashiach's coming. So it says in Zoya and different places, Tzadikim get up immediately. Tzadikim get up immediately. You know, as you go lower and lower, by the end of the 40 years, everybody's up. So it says like this, when Mashiach comes, Moshe Rabbeinu, the biggest tzaddik, is going to get up immediately, instantaneously. So Moshe, together with Mashiach, will redeem the Jewish people. That's what it means. Moshe, who goel rishon, who goel acharin, it doesn't mean Moshe as Mashiach. Moshe will be with Mashiach, like he took the Jews out of Mitzrayim, he'll take the Jews out of Golas now also. But now the leadership was given over to Yeshua. Okay, he says like this. Hashem will destroy them. Yeshua, who ever lefanecha, Yeshua is going to be the one leading you. Kasher diber Hashem as Hashem has spoken. So Moshe Rabbeinu is basically telling the Jews, because you have to understand, if you think about it, the Jews had a certain connection to Moshe Rabbeinu that was unbelievable. First of all, Moshe Rabbeinu took him out of Egypt. He brought all the plagues in Egypt. He crossed the sea. He did all the miracles in the Midbar in 40 years, you know, the man, the well, everything was Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Jews had a certain attachment to Moshe Rabbeinu. All of a sudden, the old leader's going, and this new young guy, so to speak, Yeshua, is coming up. So it was a difficult transition. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the Jews that Yeshua Eiver Lefanecha Kasher Diber Hashem, this is coming from God. And therefore you have to accept him as a leader. You have to understand, the Jews had Moshe Rabbeinu from the time they became a nation. Now they're transferring power. So he said, Kasher Diber Hashem, like Hashem spoke. Okay, now, Va'asa Hashem Lohem, and God's going to do to the seven nations in Eretz Yisrael, Kasher Asa L'Sichon U'L'Eig Malchi Amedu L'Artzam, like he did to the nation of Sichon and Eig, the kings of Amedin to the land, Asher Hishmed Eisam, that he destroyed them. Meaning, what it means over here is a few things. Number one, they're going to conquer the land. Number two, they're going to destroy the idols, like they did by Sichon and Eig. They're going to get rid of all the idols. Unsanam Hashem lefnechem, and that God is going to give you them over in your hands. Vasisim lehem, and you should do to them what I command you already before. Chol haMitzvah sheTzivisi eschem, all the mitzvah I commanded you, like we said, to destroy the idols. So Hashem says to him, it's giving basically a pep talk to the Jews. Yeshua's taking over. It's not Yeshua. It's God conquering the land. Yeshua's the leader. You have the mitzvahs to follow, destroy all the idols, and so on and so forth. Okay? And then it says like this. Chizku v'yimtzu. Okay? Strengthen yourself. V'yimtzu, be courageous. Al tiru v'al tartzu mipnehem. Don't be afraid, and don't be broken before them. In other words, like this. The worst thing a person can do in battle is give up hope. The worst thing a person can do. If you're fearful, therefore, in that Torah it says when the soldiers went to war, the Pasuk says, a person that was afraid of battle, go home, we don't want you there. We don't want cowards. In fact, we learned already many times the interesting concept. When people went to war, they do it today also, by the way. When you go to war, they sing a victory march before they go to war. It's like you have in cheerleaders in the sports game, you know, already we won. The bottom line is, you have to have spirit. Talmud Rebbe Tanya says an interesting word about fighting the Yetzer Hara. He says, when two people are fighting, if one is maybe stronger, but he doesn't have the spirit, the weaker one will win over you if he has spirit. A lot doesn't depend on strength. It depends on the spirit of fighting. And therefore, he explains in Tanya why simcha is so important. You have to be happy. And because then when you go to fight the Yetzer Hara, when you have good spirit, then you're able to win even though you're weaker. The Yetzer Hara might be stronger, but if you have spirit, you have simcha, then you can overcome. So the three says like this. Chizku v'yimsu, strengthen yourself, be courageous. Al tiru v'al tartu mipneim. Do not be afraid. Do not be broken from them. Why? Because you have to keep in mind one thing. Hashem Elokecho hu ha'elech imach. God is going with you. Lo yarpecho. He will not release you or weaken you. Vole yazvek. He will not forsake you. He won't leave you. Hashem is, Moshe Rabbeinu is promising the Jews based on what Hashem told them. That the Jews should know that this is going to happen. Hashem is not forsaking the Jews. And therefore, when you go, don't get scared from there being giants and there being powerful and all that stuff. Like the spies came back. He said, God is fighting for you. And it doesn't matter for God who's there. The big, strong people and the weak, it's all the same stuff. But what the Torah is saying, and this is a very important thing in life. The Torah is saying, in the battles and challenges of life, don't be afraid and don't be broken. Don't never ever give up hope. Okay. Once you give up hope, you're lost. And you know, you find this in the medical world also. People that are very, very sick, God forbid, Stein gedacht, if they still have a spirit to live, they will live much longer than a person who gives up the spirit to live.
And what's wrong with dying? I don't understand.
For some people, maybe it's good to die.
Yeah.
At least for others, it's good when they die.
Yeah.
Okay. Because that's not what God wants.
Yeah, but that's not the point.
Yes, it is the point. According to Jewish law, a person has to do everything possible to extend life.
What if they don't ever go to a doctor if they don't know?
Huh?
What if they don't want to know?
According to Halacha, to din in the Gemara, Shulchan Aruch brings it down, a Jew is not allowed to live in a city where there's no doctor. You know, it's forbidden according to Halacha to live in a city where there's no doctor.
Can't be forced to go to the doctor.
Torah says you have to go to the doctor. In Halacha it says, let's say about Yom Kippur, Halacha says, if a doctor says a patient has to eat, because they're deathly or they have to eat, and the patient says, no, I'm not eating. Halacha says you force feed him. You force his mouth open and you stuff food down his throat. Make sure he doesn't choke, by the way. But you have to force feed him. Torah says a Jew has an obligation to do everything possible to extend life. And therefore, the din is, by the way, in Torah, in Halacha, you desecrate Shabbos, let's say a person's deathly, okay, you desecrate Shabbos, even though 10 minutes later they're going to die anyway, you desecrate Shabbos for those 10 minutes, that they should live longer.
Okay, so I thought...
One second. There's a story with the Tzemach Tzedek, that there was once in the city of Lubavitch, somebody became deathly ill, and the doctor said that he needs a certain medication, but there was no pharmacy in Lubavitch, so they had to take a horse on Shabbos and desecrate Shabbos to go to the next city to get the prescription. So somebody said to the Tzemach Tzedek, he's dying anyway. I mean, like, what's the big thing? Why do you have to desecrate Shabbos if the guy's dying anyway? So Halacha says that, but the Tzemach Tzedek said a beautiful reason. He said, you can't imagine the great pleasure God has every minute, every second that a person's soul is in the body. And that, by the way, even if they're comatose, vegetative state, the fact that the soul is in the body and they're alive is a tremendous, tremendous pleasure from God. The question is, as doctors will tell you, what type of life is that? That's not our business already. God gives life, God takes life.
Excuse me.
What?
There's a contradiction here. Excuse me, ladies. I apologize if I'm talking too much. Okay? Which Jew was placed here to do Torah and mitzvah?
Correct.
If
and
you're
to live.
Comatose, then you're not doing any Torah and you're not doing any mitzvah.
That's what I
so
said.
What is the pleasure?
Because you didn't hear what I said. I said, even if the person is not doing mitzvahs,
correct,
the fact that God kept the person alive, and he gives us the medical know-how how to extend the life of a person. The fact that the soul is in the body, even if it cannot perform Torah mitzvah because it's vegetative, comatose, whatever you want to call it, it's still a tremendous thing for God. What God wants is a person who's alive and functioning. Yeah, the purpose of their creation was to do mitzvahs. Are you allowed to kill a person that doesn't keep mitzvahs? No, because that person also has to live.
Why kill him? Why does God kill him if he wants him to be alive?
Why does God bring death in the world? Because it's a person's so mission, in other words, when a person is born, God gives us, interestingly, God gives us a mission and amount of time to do the job.
Can you put that in writing next time?
It's in Torah. God gives us a mission and a time to do the mission. No extra credit. No extra time.
So once you do it, when you do it,
that means your mission was fulfilled on earth. Then, when Hashem takes you, you can't just kill yourself. Because as long as you're alive, obviously the mission is not done yet. That's why God is giving you more life. So then, you have a mission to fulfill, and you have to fulfill it. If you don't fulfill the mission, guess what? You come back down again. So pays to do it right the first time.
But Hashem already knows whether or not you do the mission.
But we still choose. We still choose whether we're doing it or not.
It doesn't make any sense.
Sure, it makes sense.
He already knows that we're not going to complete the mission. Therefore,
why? Well, speak for yourself.
What?
Everybody else finishes their mission.
All right.
Amen. No, this is the reality. As far as we look at another person, they're fulfilling their mission.
All right, so I have a question. So when you say you should do everything you can to extend someone's life, there's a limit to that, isn't there?
Halachically, it's a debate. Halachically, it's a debate. There's a big argument in codifiers. Depending if the person's in pain, not in pain, how much you have to extend, what you have to do, heroic, not heroic. Okay, but that's halachic debates. But conceptually, to extend the life of a person in a natural way is an obligation according to all opinions. The only question is you have to go miraculous to do it. But natural, if God gave, like listen, years ago, before the medicine that we have today, people died much younger for a lot of other illnesses, right? By the way, all these illnesses that people have today in old age, Alzheimer's and all that, is basically because we're living much longer. So these new issues came up that they didn't have because in those days they died at 40, 50, 60, that was it.
Not in Iran. People used to live until...
Maybe
the Ashkenazi.
You know why? Because Ashkenazim, God says, I want with me. The you guys, he says, stay there.
No, I'm serious. In the olden days in Iran, people still, you see Iranians, they live to 110,
yeah,
100.
Yeah,
am I true?
It's a handful.
The younger ones nowadays are dying at the age of 50.
Because eating all the junk food.
Yeah. Average age was 50 to 60.
Years ago, even in the time of the Gemara, yeah, the famous Rabbah passed away at 40. Abaya passed away at 60. And Abaya lived long, by the way. He died at 60. I mean, people died years ago, not that many, 100 years ago. People died in childbirth. Yummy people died. There was no medicines. They had illnesses. They died. So Hashem, closer to the coming of Mashiach, by the way, is the time when Hashem wants more mission to be accomplished. So therefore Hashem gave the ability of, listen, all the scientific things, whether it's technology, medicine, all these types of things, they didn't create the knowledge. It just became revealed. Right? Technology existed, the concept of technology existed 3,500 years ago. They weren't aware of it because they took A to B to C to D. Okay? But it wasn't something they created. No, it's not that the internet is something new that didn't exist. They only found out how to make it and how to use it and how it should work. So, in Torah, yeah, you find Rabbi Akiva died at 120. But that was an exceptional case. Hillel died at 120. The Gemara speaks about certain individuals. Certain great, but a lot of great individuals, Rabbi died when he was 40. The Ramah died when he was 33. The Arizal died very young. But now that we're coming closer to Mashiach, there is much more wisdom. We learned, in the Parshas Noach, there's a phenomenal Zohar on the Parshas Noach. It says like this. Yeah. Okay, Bishnas, Sheish Meyeshon Elchai Noach, okay, in the 600th year of the life of Noach, Nifko Ko, Bayem Azen, Nifko Ko, Mayonis Tehim Rabba, all the wellsprings from underneath the earth opened up, and Varubis HaShemayim Niftochu, and the windows of the heaven opened up. So what happened at the flood in the 600th year for Noach? Okay, it says the earth opened up from below, all the water from underneath came up, and the water from on top came down. Yeah, so it says in the Zohar that in the year 6000, meaning which was really 5500, whatever the Cheshbon is 5500, the Zohar says what's going to happen is the earthly wisdom is going to open up. It's all going to come up to earth, meaning the earthly wisdom. And the Arubas HaShemayim, the windows of the heaven, are going to open up, refers to the secrets of Torah. And if you notice, in the year, 6,000th year era, okay, especially from the year 5500, now we're 5777. So you're talking like close to the last 300 years? Industrial revolution, technological revolution, the medical revolution, and Torah was never printed as much Torah. The secrets of Torah, the Kabbalistic thing, everything was revealed infinitely more than it was before. And the Zohar says, why? Why did it have to be? Even the scientific wisdoms. Look, in the last 200 years, the world went in physical knowledge, scientific knowledge, whatever you want to call it, more in these 200 years than all the 5,500 years before that. And now it's going even quicker pace.
And morally, it went down.
Went down in dread, yeah. So, but every year, every 10 years, the scientific, medical, technological wisdom is just exploding. And the explanation is, because this is getting the world ready for the coming of Mashiach. Because, you know why? Because, to give you an example, everybody speaks bad about the internet, which is true. But the bottom line is, because of the internet, millions of people can learn Torah that they were never able to do before that. Think about how much Torah is taught on the internet. How many classes you have on the internet? How many millions and millions and millions of people learn Torah from the internet that they would have never been able to do before? Okay, so look at the good of it. this, and not only that, because of technology today, in 1 second, everybody in the world knows everything. No longer took years ago. 200 years ago, you know how long it took to send a letter? If somebody passed away, it took people sometimes months until they heard about it. Somebody had a baby, it took months until they heard about it. Yeah? Now, in 1 second, the whole world knows. That's preparing the world for Mashiach. That Hashem is going to reveal himself and it's all going to be godliness. In 1 second, can you imagine? Mashiach comes on Facebook. The whole world will know the second Mashiach comes that he came. You won't have to send out messengers. You won't have to send out torches. You won't have to do anything. The whole world will know Mashiach comes.
His name is going to be written.
And Facebook. But that's why the world is coming like that. But coming back over here, what the Torah demands from a person, what the Torah demands from a person is to have spirit. Lo yarpecha v'lo yazveka, do not become weak, do not become despaired, depressed. The Torah says that's not going to win the battle. He's speaking about the battle in Eretz Yisrael, but he's speaking about the battle in our own personal life. You want to win the battle, you need to have spirit. What does spirit mean? Knowing, and this is so important, knowing I could do it, I will do it, and it's considered done. We won before they even started playing the game.
And
what?
Easier said than done.
Life is easier said than done. No?
Where's that line in here?
He says, sentence 6, like 10 lines down, Chizka v'yimtzu, be strong and courageous, altiru, don't be afraid, valtartu m'pneim, don't be broken before them. That simply means before the nations that you're coming to fight. But in the deeper sense, it means from the evil forces. Right? Don't be afraid. You know what's very interesting? Many people, besides kids, even adults, are afraid of the dark. To a certain extent, you know, people are afraid of the dark. And when you realize darkness is really mamish nothing. It's mamish nothing. What's darkness? It's the absence of light. It's nothing. So why should a person be afraid of darkness? The answer is, tell you what the answer is. It's the fear of the unknown. Because when a room is dark, you don't know what's where. Like the Rebbe said millions of times, Torah is called Ner Mitzvah Torah Or, Torah is light. When light comes into a room, it doesn't change the room. Light doesn't change the room. What's in the room is in the room, whether it's dark or light. But what does light do? Light shows you where it's safe to go, where it's dangerous to go, what's good, what's bad. That's what light does. And the Rebbe said, that's what Torah does. There's a world. Okay? Torah sheds light in the world. Torah says, this is good for you to do, this is bad for you to do, this you must do, this you're not allowed to do, this you should do. That's what Torah does. And when you have the spirit to know like this, the Torah, God's giving me the challenges, and he says, why shouldn't you be afraid? He says, why? God is going with you. When you're fighting the challenges of life, the Torah is teaching us over here, God is going with you. And if God is going with you, you have nothing to be afraid of. So consider it done and accomplished.
But the evil is created by Hashem. Please explain this. Okay? God is going with you on a path of fighting
evil. Of good. Evil was created for one reason only, to transform it into light and good.
So why should we be afraid of evil if we know that Hashem is the same thing?
But it says, don't be afraid to fight evil, because you might think evil is stronger than you, like the nations of Canaan are stronger, but he said that's, the Pasuk here is teaching us, that's only when you go yourself. Then evil could be stronger than you. But if God is going with you, then evil is non-existent. All you have to realize is, I am, I'm going, I will win, and I won. That attitude is what the Torah says a Jew must have.
Sort of like that saying that that God won't give you something harder than you.
God won't give you something you could do. But this psukim, by the way, if you think about it, internalize it in life, Hashem says, you're going to fight a battle. That's what he says to you. You're going to go conquer them. God is going with you. Don't be afraid. If God's going with you, you have nothing to be afraid of.